The book of John, chapter 19. I want to preach on this title. John, chapter 19. I want to preach on this title. A Mother's Day at the Cross. Now, preacher, Mother's Day wasn't incorporated back in Bible times. You are right. But this is a Mother's Day at the cross. And I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord gave me this morning as I got ready. He said, I want you to think about this. Go preach it. It's little prepared. And I know how I am when I little prepare a message. I usually preach a long time. More time of study, the smaller it becomes. Amen. John chapter 19, if you would stand with me, realizing that Jesus is on the cross. We come down to verse number 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Lord, we thank you for our mothers. We thank you, Father, that you've allowed us to be right in the place that we are today. We thank you for that. Lord, there's needs in this congregation today that need to be met. And Lord, we're not just here to honor Mama. No, no. We're here to worship Jesus. We're here to learn more about our Lord. And God, while we do thank you for our mothers, it's taught us about the Lord. Lord, we are most thankful for salvation that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, now I pray the Holy Ghost would be our inspiration, our helper, our God, our mouthpiece today. Lord, we ask God you just work upon us. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. A Mother's Day at the cross. Understand what's taking place here. They've taken Jesus to the cross. And in verse 25, the Bible says that now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. His mother stands by the cross as he's lifted up there, bleeding and dying, the sins of the world hanging on his shoulder. I want to say point number one, she became a mother in conception. She conceived by the Holy Ghost. I want us to look at that. In the book of Luke, chapter number 1. The book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse number 30. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of God. Of the highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Now every one of us today have this in common. We all have had a mother. We've all had a dad. Jesus was born of a virgin. No one else in the history of time, nor will ever be, can say they were conceived by the Holy Ghost, amen, and born of a virgin, physically speaking. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee, Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. She became a mother in her conception by the precious Holy Ghost of God. And she had a child. That child was the Christ child, Jesus, the darling Son of God. When God saw you and I in sin, the way He chose to redeem us was none other short of the blood of Jesus Christ. He gave the best that heaven had to give. All He had, He gave, that you and I might be redeemed today. Praise God for that. Now I'm mindful that there are many that might be here today that you're a mother, but you never had a child. You've made a decision in your life that you would help raise a child or adopt a child into your home, and you've cared for that child and raised that child. I want to tell you what, amen, you've conceived in your heart to bear that burden for that child. God bless you ladies that would choose to bring up youngins that way. That's a mother as well, I believe. Now, I get to thinking about how she conceived, and, you know, a lot of scholars and a lot of skeptics would say, I do not believe that scientifically she could have a child being a virgin. Let them scoff. Mary would tell you one day, if you ever reach heaven, if you figure it out, amen, and get saved, she'll tell you, yes, he was virgin born. She knew it for a truth, amen. And they get to think, second of all, that Mary considered some things. Second of all, in Luke chapter 2, in verse number 49, this child named Jesus was growing up, and they had been in Jerusalem worshiping there and offered sacrifice there, and all the family and its big entourage, they began to leave, and they go for a few days, and they start looking, and Jesus is not with them. He's just 12 years old, and He's not traveling with the family, and there's great excitement. And they begin to look for Him, and Mary said after they found Him in the temple where He was teaching there with the elders and all the scholars and the scribes, she said, Son, how is it that you've dealt thus with us? Man, we've been looking everywhere for you, boy. Where have you been? And she said, Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. In verse number 49, what's what Jesus says to her? He said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Now, she wasn't talking about Joseph. No. He wasn't talking about Joseph. He was talking about God, his father. For God was his father, is his father, and shall forever be. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. She pondered his statement, Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? She considered these things. And in fact, during his life, we realize he would touch the blind man and would heal him, and the lame man would heal him, and the dead man would raise him, and all these accolades would come right back to Mary. She would hear how Jesus had power to do all these things, and I know that she considered who he was. He was the Son of God. She heard and knew many things about him. And then I think about here she stands now at the foot of the cross, knowing how he had fed 5,000 men with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish, knowing how he had cared for the widow at Nain and had raised her child up, knowing all the things that he had done, and there he hangs on a cross. And she's still considering, why does he deserve this? I've seen him do nothing wrong. Now many of you mothers today realize your child does wrong from time to time. You may not want to think about it. But I want to tell my mama I've not always been what she thought I was.
Amen.
Some of you agree. I'm a bad person. But I want to also say that she knows, according to the Scripture, that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not one of us today. We've all got in common, we have a mama and a daddy. But we also all have in common, we have a living, breathing soul inside our bodies. And that soul will one day spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. And we all have in common the fact that we have sinned. I have sinned. And I've got news for you. So have you. And our mothers, according to Scripture, would know that about us. But I'm glad there's a way. Our sins can be washed away and we can be saved. But this mother, when she considered Him hanging on the cross, she knew He had done nothing amiss. That makes me think about point number three, the cause. Why did Jesus have to die? Why was He hanging there? Now, if you'd been part of that bloodthirsty mob that had been saying, crucify Him, crucify Him, you would have been saying that He is getting what He deserved. Oh, we don't like Him, and we want Him done away with, and we want Him killed. And they made up all kinds of reasons and false condemnations that He might have to die. And they were in agreement about that. They were glad He was dying. They thought He was dying because He was some kind of a traitor to His country, or traitor to the people, traitor to the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. They couldn't understand why He would want to be friendly to publicans and sinners, and why He wanted to take the poor peasants and preach to them the gospel, and why He didn't stand up with military might and overthrow Rome. That's what they considered. But I think His mother considered, what has this man done amiss? What is the cause for which Jesus had to die? What is the cause for which a sword would run through her heart and her son had to hang on a cross and bleed and die? I tell you what that cause was. It was judgment. Not the judgment of the world, but the judgment that God sent upon the world, and Jesus was willing to take upon Himself our judgment, our sins, that we might be saved. I want you to notice from the text in John chapter 19. Turn back there with me. I want you to notice from the text point number 4. The Bible says in verse 26, when Jesus therefore saw His mother and the disciples standing by whom He loved, He said to His mother, woman, behold thy son. There He hangs on the cross. His mother standing by. He looks down and He sees her. Maybe she's just at the bottom of the cross, or maybe she's kind of across the road, maybe some yards away from where He is. But nonetheless, she's bowing there, and no doubt she's probably weeping there, wouldn't you think? And Jesus says, woman, behold thy son. Now He's not saying to her, mom, look at me. He called her woman. He didn't call her mother. There's a change of relationship taking place here on the cross. He's still her son, oh yes, but He's dying for her sins. This is not a mother-son thing, not a family. This is a God thing going on now on the cross. He says, woman, behold thy son. He's not saying, look at me, your son. You may say, preacher, well, he called her woman, didn't call her mother. Well, he didn't recognize her. He couldn't see. He was dying there. Blood was running out of his body. Fluid coming out of his body, so that every time he blinked his eyes, they felt like granite going back and forth. And every time he tried to swallow, it was like stones was in the back of his throat. Every time he tried to do anything, preacher, he was in excruciating pain. Certainly he was asphyxiating, where his lungs were filled up with fluid or with blood. And that's why he couldn't see her across the road, and he called her woman. Oh, no, friend. No, no, no. When you die of asphyxiation, you ask any doctor, you become so unaware of your surroundings that you cannot see your own hand in front of your face. Yet this man Jesus had enough God about Him to be able to look across the road and see His mother probably down on her knees weeping and crying, and He even spoke to her in His dying hour and said, woman, behold thy son. Not meaning, look at me. He saw John, the beloved disciple, standing there as well. And he's saying to the mother, mom, woman, Mary, I'm dying now, but I care for you. This will be your new son. John will be your son. Now I want you to notice something. My fourth point is this, what God gave me this morning, that Jesus on the cross in His dying hour was calm. I'm not calm very much. Little things get me frustrated. distracted, murmuring and complaining. How many times has we as children said, you couldn't believe what they're doing to me. They've done me wrong on the job and this has happened in my life. And we moan. But Jesus is not saying, woman, behold thy son. Look what they've done to me. I can't believe, can you believe they've done this to me, Mom? What have I? It's not what he was doing. He was calm. Boy, we as children love the blame game. I know what it's like to be a teenager. Mom, this is your fault. It's because you didn't care for me, and this is your fault. I made a bad choice, but it's your fault, Mom. The blame game. Mom, if you'd have done better for me, things wouldn't have turned out like this. I'm going to blame Mama about it. I'm going to tell you what, friend. Jesus was calm on that cross, and he was not blaming his mother for his situation he was in. Why you want to blame people, I'll never know. I don't know who I'm saying that for, but quit blaming Mama. She didn't, it was your choice. You're the one responsible for your actions. Hey, I'm reminded to tell you this morning that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. God created them. Did they sin? Yes. Was it their father's fault? Was it their surroundings' fault? No. They made a conscious choice. And I want to tell you what today, Jesus was calm, not playing the blame game on the cross. He says, woman, behold thy son. That brings me to the fifth point, Jesus care for his mother. Now, he's considering her, what she's going through, and he wants to provide for her. Now, you mark down what I'm going to tell you, because you're not going to like it. The Bible tells me that Jesus had brothers and sisters that would have been half brothers and sisters to him because they were born to Joseph and Mary. But Jesus was the firstborn, born to Mary and God the Holy Ghost. Therefore, all his brothers and sisters would have been half brothers and sisters to him. Shake your head if you agree. I can take you to the Word of God and show you and point them out to you. And in fact, in another chapter in the book of John, the Bible said that his brothers, his family, did not believe him. So Jesus looked there and saw his mother. And he said, woman, behold thy son. And look what else he went on to say in the next verse. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. He did not send her home with his half-brothers. He did not send her home with his half-sisters. He cared for her. Well, preacher, if he cared, why didn't he send her home with some of the family? Because they did not believe in the Lord. Jesus is interested that his mother was going to be in a home that was a God-centered home. One that was filled with love, compassion, and care. You'd do well to make yours the same way. He said, I'm not just going to send my mama home with anybody, whether it's their family or not. He knows how they are. He said to John, he said, behold thy mother. In other words, from across, he cared enough to see that situation and said, Mom, I want to make sure you're taken care of, and I believe John is just the one to do it. Now the Bible says, look with me, the Bible says, now this is about his care, the Bible says, and from that hour, are you with me? From that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. He took upon himself someone else's mother as his own. I've kind of done like that a time or two myself. There's been some of you in this congregation, you've been a mother figure to me. And I appreciate it. Thank God for you. Amen. And if I could, I'd bring you into my own home if I were able. John cared so much that he took her into his own home. Oh boy, you didn't like that, did you? Understand point number six. We see the care. Point number six, do you see the compassion? He's dying for our sins. He is taking upon himself our sin, bearing our burden. Notice, the one standing at the foot of that cross named Mary, he's dying for her sins too. That's why he called her woman and not mother right there, because he was dying for her sins. Preacher, now you're going to make me mad. I believe Mary, we have forgiveness of sins through Mary. What did Mary do? She bore the Christ child. She was highly favored among women, not above. Among. Did she die on the cross? We read the verse. She's standing there by the cross. A mother stands by, don't she? Through thick and thin, mom stands by. Praise God for that. That's a real mother. Amen. She stood by. And I want to tell you something. Did she die on the cross? Was it Mary that shed her blood? No. Jesus died because all have sinned. All. A-L-L. You know who that includes? Mary. Mary is included in all. And Jesus, as He looked there to care for her and to provide for her and to make sure she was taken care of, He also was making sure that she would have a Savior. In shedding His own blood, that if she would believe Him, she would have a home in heaven. You see, there is one mediator between God and man. It is the man, Christ Jesus. It's not Mary. Jesus was there because of His compassion. And I'll close with this. He cares for her and has compassion upon her on this Mother's Day. This is a Mother's Day in her life. She's spending at the cross here. Last of all, and I'll let you go. I see a covenant He's honoring there. The Scripture says, honor thy father and thy mother. That's some of the commandments, amen? And Jesus on the cross is honoring His mother. He could have thought about Himself. How to get out of that fix. How to get out of that situation. But in His dying hour, He cared about His mother. Preacher, where's Joseph? Joseph probably is already dead, but Joseph is not His real father anyway. But I'm sure He probably paid honor and respect to Him in due season. And I want to say to you today, amen, I can read you the Scripture. Turn there with me. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. There's more verses we could turn to. We can affirm, while you're turning, let me read Ephesians chapter 6. You turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Paul writing says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You remember when Jesus was 12 years old and He got left behind and He was teaching there in the temple, when they came back and said, son, why have you dealt thus with us? And He said, wist ye not I must be about my Father's business? And the Bible says from that point, Jesus was subject unto them. You know the biggest problem in a lot of our homes is, that has children, young'uns don't want to be subject to mom and dad anymore. He says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 5, verse 16, these are our commandments. Let's just look at one. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Preacher, that thy days may be prolonged. Jesus honored His father and mother, and He's died on a cross. He's honoring God His Father, keeping what God told Him to do, and He's honoring Mary's mother and trying to care for her and have compassion about her, but He's dying. Didn't you read the rest of the story? On the third day, got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave, and now He lives and reigns forever. He would not have been, hear me, He would not have been Jesus the Savior if He hadn't have cared for His mother and honored her. I want to say today to somebody here that's saved, God's been good to you. Jesus died for your sins on the cross. You've complained and been frustrated and blamed and got upset and been out of shape and not been calm, and you know all those things today. But He saved you. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. How then can you treat your mother less than respectful? Because the way she treated me, preacher. Why, you know what Jesus said? If we're mistreated, we're to turn the other cheek. You know what I think y'all do today? I think you ought to set this day aside and honor Mom and honor the Lord. Why, it is Mother's Day, is it not? It's a wonderful day. I wonder, might be somebody here. You stand to your feet this morning. We'll try to move on with the service. You stand to your feet and say, you know what? Preacher, there's this old gal I used to date. I finally got her to marry me. I held her hand, stood in front of the preacher there. He said, you may kiss the bride, and we smooched a little. A few years later, God's blessed us with youngins. She's been a wonderful mother. She stood by me through thick and thin. I've not always been calm. I've not always been rational. But I appreciate my mother. I appreciate my wife. I wish right now you'd do something. It's very strange. You'd go get her. Where's my wife at? Where'd she go? You'd go get her. She slipped off. You'd go get her and bring her. Come on. Mind the Lord. You'd slip down here to this altar. You'd go get Mom if she's here. You'd make it a family thing. Might be somebody here, your mother's done slipped off to glory. Boy, you could come to this altar and say, praise God for Mama. Boy, I was raised in a Christian home. Might be somebody here, boy, I tell you. God saw fit to, you didn't have that physical child yourself, but God saw fit to allow you to be blessed today. I have a precious wife to raise up children with. You ought to get down on your knees and pray for her today. But preacher, I'm upset. You need to get down and pray for her today. Some of you mothers, they're sick. And they're feeble, not able to be here. Boy, would to God you'd get on your knees today and say, oh God, I've prayed about it before, but I want to do it again. I want to ask you, would you help our family? Lord, I want to thank you for what you've blessed us with. I'm asking you to come today and mind them. Let's bow and pray together this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning for Mother's Day at the cross. Your own mother, Mary, she stood right by you through thick and thin. When the crowd chanted, crucify him, crucify him, she bowed her head and bewailed and lamented and cried as the nails were driven in your hands and in your feet. Lord, she heard those words when you said to John, behold thy mother. She heard those words that you spoke to her when you said, woman, behold thy son. The words, go home with John today. Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, today as we bow in this place, let us be mindful of where we are. It is the house of God. Lord, as we bow here, Father, we bow at the foot of an old rugged cross, Father. Lord, it's upon the back of this building. It's representative of one that Jesus bore for our sins. God, we spend Mother's Day at the cross today to say thank you for our life. Thank you for our moms. Thank you for a godly heritage. Thank you for the church. Thank you, God, that you saw fit to save us and allow us to be born into the family of God. And the church is to be like a mother, to care and have compassion upon individuals. Lord, I pray today, God, you'd help the church to have a mothering instinct as the Holy Ghost grants us that. Lord, today we love you. We pray, God, for our mothers and our wives today. God, that have saw fit to allow us to have children. God, I pray you encourage their hearts. And thank you, Lord, for all the late nights. And thank you, God, for their prayers. And thank you, Lord, for the times they've washed clothes when they didn't feel like it. They died for youngins and bathed youngins. And they took their own lives and put their own lives aside for a little while for the child. Lord, I appreciate the sacrifice of a mother. How she'd take her hand and get a wash rag and wipe across my fevered brow and call on the Lord. Lord, I thank you, Father, for a mother in this kingdom and for a precious mother you've given us. God, there's others here today. God, their mothers are home in glory. God, I pray, Father, that you bless that individual. God, with the precious memories of Mom upon this earth. And now that they're saved, they're going to see Mama again. Hallelujah, because Jesus died and now lives again. I can face tomorrow and spend eternity with Mother. Lord, bless your holy name for a Mother's Day at the cross. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. And amen.
Well, glory to God.